We open our Bibles this morning to God's Word in Psalm 127. Our text will be on the occasion of the baptisms, the verses 3 through 5. It was in October at a baptism service that we chose this entire psalm to preach on, and you might remember that we only got as far as the first two verses at that time. And I certainly appreciated different members of the congregation reminding me that they would appreciate the conclusion of the psalm. So we're going to do that, Lord willing, this morning, Psalm 127, the verses 3 through 5. We'll read at this time the entire psalm. It is a psalm, one of two psalms written by Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. May God bless his holy word to our hearts. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned, we have dealt with the first two verses of this psalm already, and instead of reviewing what is found in those verses this morning, I would encourage you to either get the CD or to go online and hear the sermon itself. Very briefly, in those first three verses, we are taught with respect to our Christian homes and families that anything that we do apart from the Lord, anything we do with the Lord out of the picture, anything we do without dependence upon God is absolutely useless. Says the Word of God, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Without God, nothing is possible. With God, everything is possible. We saw secondly in those verses that the home not only must be built by God, but the home needs defense by God. And therefore we must defend our home with God's strength through the Holy Scriptures and with His living truth. And then finally we saw in verse 2 that the Word of God tells us to keep our focus upon our homes, our energy on our homes, that we must not get caught up burning the candle on both ends, we say. We must not get caught up with work and pursuits of things to the neglect of our family. We are to work diligently, but we are to work diligently, always focused upon the spiritual life of our family and our home. God must not have our spare time. God must be our time, our focus. Now this morning, in verses 3 through 5, you see that the psalm, the beautiful Psalm 127, changes from the building of the home to the blessing of children in the home. It begins at verse 3 to focus on the ones for whom we are building our Christian home and our Christian family. The emphasis is shifting to the blessing of children. Just two thoughts before we begin looking into those verses specifically. The first is a caution. The blessing of children, that does not mean that if God does not give us children, that we are not blessed. The blessing of the Christian home is God. And God's blessing is to be found in whatever way that He leads our marriages, whatever trial, whatever circumstance, whatever He brings into our home. God's blessing is Himself. We must not think that our marriage is not blessed if the Lord has not given to us the blessing of children. Meditating upon that this morning was why I wanted to change to Psalter 27. The Lord is my inheritance, the Lord alone remains, the fullness of my cup of bliss, the Lord my lot maintains. And the second thing, very briefly, is an observation that we will come back to this morning, but an observation upon verses 3 through 5, just looking at them together, and very plainly, the Scriptures teach us that children are something to be desired. They are a heritage from the Lord. They are His reward. They are arrows. They are the fruit of His work within the womb of a woman. Blessed is he, says the psalmist, whose quiver is full of them. We must not look at children as something that should be limited, as an intrusion, as a bother. We must not look at children as a young couple for something to be fit into our life after other goals of our life have been attained. But God is telling us that children, sovereign gifts, He has to give them, but nevertheless, they are to be desired as a great blessing of God, with a great calling from God. So we consider this morning the blessing of children. Let's see, first of all, in verse 3, that they are the gift of God. Secondly, let's see that they are arrows in our hands, and there we get into the purpose of parenting. And then finally, let's look at the happiness of parents. Children, as I said, are a rich blessing of God that we receive with thankfulness before God. Apart from first your relationship to God, and then secondly, if you're married, your relationship to your husband or to your wife, apart from those two first, children are a great and rich blessing that God gives us in this life. Verse 3 begins with the word lo, or behold. Behold, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That word behold is like Jesus' words, verily, verily, I say to you. It's a very important word. The word lo is just like the finger of God coming and pointing to that verse and pointing to the verse and say, now there is something very important. They are a marvelous gift. They are to be treasured because they are given by God. If someone were to come into your home today and spend some time with you, what would they conclude means the most to you as a couple? Would it be your house and the renovations you've made to make it back to the period? Would it be the square footage? Would it be found in some furnishing of the home or the view that you have in your house? Would it be something in the garage or in the barn? A snowmobile or a pickup? Would it be the flooring of your home or the granite cabinets? What would give you satisfaction? Would they conclude that this couple values their children, counts their children God's richest blessing? In the late 1800s, two financiers, two young men, began a corporation which is in existence today. One of them, early in their partnership, left the partnership to devote himself to his own family. The other went on to develop the corporation to become one of the world's most wealthy men. After 30 or 40 years, the wealthy financier and businessman decided that he would look up his former partner who helped him start his empire. he went to visit him, and he knew he was coming. So he had 6 children, and he lined up his children from oldest to youngest before his friend. And his friend, the wealthy financier, entered his house and said to him, after an absence of 30 years, "Many children make a rich man poor." And he responded to him and said, "No. Many children make a poor man rich. They are an heritage." They literally, that word means given. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. God is telling us there that He is sovereign over the womb, over birth. He is telling us that children are His creation. He is telling us that the mystery of conception in the sexual, intimate life of a husband and wife that God has given exclusively unto marriage of one man and one woman for life, that in that confine, God is pleased, wills to work this marvel of God called conception, the growth of a human person, and to implant the soul into this child in the womb, and to know this child in the womb. It is God who creates the marvel of a child. We do not create children. God gives that life, and God bestows that life. Job said concerning 10 dead children, "The Lord gave, and the Lord took away." He says again in Job 31, verse 15, when one of his friends had insinuated that his troubles were coming to him because he had been unjust to one of his servants. And he says concerning his servant, "Did not He," that is God, "that made me in the womb make him? Did not God fashion us both in the womb?" You marry, young people, you marry in the Lord. Spiritually. Spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the important thing. And it is God's profound work in the mystery of your life as husband and wife to give you a child. When you get married and before you get married, you are being prepared of God by His grace to receive a child. You must grow to maturity that you might receive this great gift of a child, and that life in the womb is not a woman's right to do with as she pleases. But that life is a gift of God. Abortion is the murder of a human life. It's not giving a place. It's refusing to give a place to another. The world says, well, why would we have more unwanted children? Why would we bring children into a world if they're not going to be able to be given everything that they would require? Beloved, a child does not need everything that we think that this child needs. Child doesn't need that. Your child needs from you love. The love of God. That's what your child needs. Now notice with me that word heritage, as I said, means gift, that which is received of God. And it implies there immediately that our children are God's possession. Unbelief and evolution can know nothing of this. Put God out of the picture and you don't see anything right. The children are God's possession. You have received someone. These children are someone. Human beings known of God. You have received them from someone else. And that someone else is God. And this has been assigned to you. This is on loan to you from God. you are, as a parent, a steward of God, as really as Pharaoh's daughter said to Moses' mother, take this child and nurse it for me. And when he comes to years, I will have him come live in my house. So also God says, take this child and nurture them in my name. And then I will come and I will receive them into my house. Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, for of such children born to believers are the kingdom of God. And that means then that our spirit, their spiritual life is our deep concern as a parent. We are stewards of that child. And there will come a day when that child will be returned, these three children, there comes a day that they will be returned to God. And in that day, there is an accountability of the parent. And it is our desire that we pray with Abraham, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. A responsibility is in our home as a parent, in that home, that be a Christian, God-fearing home. We see the wisdom of gathering together as parents of one faith to continue that in our Christian schools. Then we have the means of grace, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. We have the communion of saints in the Church of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel. We bring them under that preaching of the gospel because they're given to us of God. Notice with me that the text does not say that some children are the gift of God and others are not, or most of them are a gift of God. We do not know God's eternal election and reprobation. We do not need to know that. That does not matter with respect to our love, with respect to our parenting, with respect to our leading, with respect to our receiving each child. A special needs child, a handicapped child, a colicky baby, the child of whom you say he's got an easy personality, and then the child who is putting you to the test all the time. The child that's in your arms today is given to you of God. The child that is seated next to you and is a teenager is given to you of God. The child that will get into the car this morning, or even, scary thought, even drive the car for you, that child is given to you of God. The child who's at college and speaks to you on the phone today, the child who's in another state and is married and speaks to you, that child is the most profound and precious gift of God to you. As Samuel's mother said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. And she called him Samuel, lent of the Lord. And then notice with me finally that the child is called a reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And the idea obviously is not merit. It does not mean that God, we earn our children from God. But the idea rather is one of pleasure. The idea is one of cherishing. They are given as a blessing. And so this is advancing the idea of what a child is. They are to be greeted not only in the profound awareness that they are given to God, given of God to me, but we are to receive them in joy as a blessing. You remember in Genesis chapter 5, perhaps, Noah's parents before the flood, in that world of difficulty for believing parents. Noah's parent, father Lamech, said concerning the birth of little Noah, he shall be called Noah, saying, This same child shall comfort us concerning the work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. We receive our children as comfort, as joy, as blessing. You're in line at the grocery checkout and you have a grocery cart. And now that grocery cart is more of a child's stroller than really something for groceries. If you want to get your groceries, you say someone has to take care of the kids. But you're there with your kids. One's hanging off the front, and then suppose that the Lord has blessed you with twins, and they're right there in the grocery cart. Twins. A year and a half. And you come up to the clerk, and the clerk sees this and says to you, double trouble. And you've heard that before. You're ready. And you say, no. Double blessing. Yes. Very difficult. Frustrating at times. Exhausting. Finding as a mother at the end of the day that you're looking for your own space. Yes. Yes, that's true. But pleasure. Children are comfort. Children are happiness. Children. The child given to you, the children given to you, the young people, are a gift of God. And they come with a calling, with a purpose. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, we read. In those verses, God is talking to us about the purpose that He has for parenting. He's talking to us of the calling. God's Word is speaking to us of the calling of a Christian parent. And when we filter through that Word of God, the conclusion is that God is saying our children given to us are to be trained by us to continue the cause of believing parents. The figure is of an arrow and of a mighty man. And in this Psalm 127, we have the image of spiritual warfare. Verse 1, we have read of a watchman upon a city wall with vigilance, spotting the enemy. And then at verse 5, we're going to read of the enemies who are at the gate. So the whole picture is the people of God, the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ on earth in her spiritual warfare. As the church of God has been given a calling in this world to advance God's truth, to believe God's truth, to teach the holy life of a child of God in the world of darkness, to stand before the hurricane of ungodliness, and to hold fast to the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. And so the text is saying, Dad, you are a mighty man. Just like David had his mighty men, you're one of them. That's what you have to be. You must be a mighty man of God in this world. And as a mighty man, you have a calling to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life, to throw in your lot with the Church of Jesus Christ and her glorious truth, and to live the Christian life. That's what you're on the earth for. You are a mighty man of God. And you have been given a wife now. And you are given children. And your children with your wife are to be trained so that your children come alongside of you and are engaged in the same spiritual warfare throughout the ages, the great cause of God and His truth and His church. Train your child to be armed and to be aimed and to be used in the causes of the kingdom of God, the causes that claim your heart today. train them for those same causes. They are committed to you from the Heavenly Father, so that that same cause, your cause, the cause that God has given in your heart, the cause of His church, of His truth, of the Reformed faith, the kingdom causes, train your children in these same causes to be sharp arrows sent out, shot out of your home, to continue in the coming generations those same causes. Yes. God says, yes, God says your children are extensions of you, of your faith, of your hope, of your whole goal for living. Prepare them to carry out the fight, the life of a child of God, the church, what you are engaged in. Prepare them to continue it as arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so our children of the youth. That implies, first of all, that as parents we are to shape the spiritual life of our children. Arrows don't grow on trees. They don't fall off the tree as an arrow. The Israelite knew that. They come from a branch that was crooked, that needed to be whittled and made straight and to be formed. An arrow did not shape itself. The first ministry that we have to our children is to mold them, to straighten them, to mold them spiritually in their hearts. The thinking of the world is confused, but the thinking of the world is, I don't want to force my religion, my values, upon my children. This is considered to be very noble in the world. I just want to show my child the different options, the options also of sexual preference, male or female, whatever it may be. I just want to show them the options and let the child choose for itself. The child must be allowed to make their own decisions. Beloved, I can assure you the devil has not bought into that. And the sinful world that he uses has not bought into that theory. But they want to mold and shape in a child unto evil. And they are not going to leave your children, your little children, your babies, your children, and your teenagers and young people. They are not going to leave them alone. But they are going to try to mold them. When you turn on the television, when you go on the internet, NBC, CBS, TNT, there's a conspiracy. The conspiracy which was hatched in hell. The world and the devil wants to conform your child to this world's thought. And they will do their utmost to do that. You and I would be fools if we sat back and we ignored that. The world reaches out to mold your children, to claim them. The world reaches out in the cartoon books and the little children's books that you have to watch to bring the theory, the thoughts of the world. And so the calling for a parent is aggressively, that is, in true zeal for God, and prayerfully, and in love, and in their earliest life, in the earliest life of a child, that we prayerfully desire to form our children through God's Word after Christ's likeness, to think the thoughts of God after Him. When our children are born, receiving from us, we confess this from the Scriptures, they receive from us the same fallen and sinful nature. David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, "And in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born from the womb with a sinful nature." And so we said in the form, we asked the question of these parents, Do you believe this about your children, that they were conceived and they were born in sin, yet that they are sanctified by wonderful grace in Christ? And therefore they need to be trained. They need to be disciplined. Their will, the will of the child, must be subjected to your will. Your hand must not be a rash hand of human anger. Your hand, your words, your life must be God's hands, God's mouth, God's life, to teach, to guide, to mold your child. Secondly, the implication is that our aim in our children's life is the kingdom of God, that we set before our children the purpose of life. An arrow is not only something that needs to be formed, but an arrow is something that needs to be constantly aimed at a target. It is intended to be let loose and aimed at a target. You put it in the bow and you pull it back and you aim it at something. A child's life must be directed towards something. A child's life must be given the right purpose. There must be motivation inspired into the life of a child. There must be intentional training. And that intentional training is that they be aimed at the enemy, not just to any target in the world, but aimed at the cause of God and against His enemies, against the tactics and temptations, against everything that the enemy wants in their life. Whatever the enemy wants in their life, you aim them to defeat it, to resist it, and to be to the glory of God. This means, beloved, that there has to be, and we must encourage this, there has to be lots of discussion in a Christian family. At the table, in the living room, healthy, a love for the children so that your children want to come and they talk. And at your table, sometimes the supper hour goes on long and you talk with your children and there's all kinds of discussion and growth together. Not everybody glued to their device, as if these devices are almost like an IV that you'd have in the hospital, and we're plugged in and we have to carry it with us, and we're constantly looking at some device because some message is so important to us now. And we can't even have a focused moment, half hour, hour of discussion as husband and wife, as family and children, in the Word of God, a time together. God's Word says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, to you as parents, to you as fathers, you need to be talking to your children when you get up in the morning, when you lie down, when you're by the way, when they're with you. You need to be talking. You need to be instructing them. You need to be modeling to them what it means to be a child of God. You need to be planting seeds of truth into their head. You need to be teaching them how to be skilled in their thinking and understanding Scripture. This is our calling. That's the calling of a parent, to be doing this. And as they grow, the training becomes more intense. As husbands and wives, we need always to be growing in spiritual maturity. When we're young, blessed, the text says, as arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. It's good that we're young, when we have them as babies. But you, as husband and wife, need to be growing because you need to be aware, you need to be skilled, you need to understand the Christian life. You need to be able to talk with young people and young adults on spiritual issues and life that they are confronting in this world. And finally, an arrow is to be released. It does not do any good, ultimately, if an arrow is straight, and if an arrow is in the bow and pointed, you need to release it. You cannot hang on to your children forever. You must give them up. You must send them out of your home. You must send them out of your home to score a direct hit on the enemy to continue the work of the kingdom of God in which you, as a parent, are engaged. Christian parenting is not just this, to say to them, well, we provided you a roof and food and clothes and the Christian school and soccer practice and piano lessons and table manners, and now you're old enough to fly off for yourself and choose your course. What will it be? And now you need to define for yourself what your life will be about and what you will pursue in your life. That is not Christian parenting. That's not what the Word of God teaches. But Christian parenting is son and daughter. I am training you to carry on the causes of the kingdom of God, which have been my life, in which my life has willingly and joyfully been spent. These causes, son and daughter, are not my causes. They are the causes of our God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. They are the truth and they are the light on this earth. Young people are to be sent out. Young adults are sent out of our homes to continue, to advance, to be faithful to God's truth, God's church, here, right here, as God has blessed us. These causes that are dear to our hearts, the truth that is dear to our hearts, the kingdom causes dear to our hearts, the godly life, these are not ours. This has been given to us of God. They are a precious treasure. And children are to be sent out to continue those causes. We must not have a spiritual life, a church life, a Christian life, which is saying to our children, well, this is my preference. You know what I think. It's my preference, but when you're 18, you decide. No. But this, son, by God's wondrous grace, my life has been directed to the eternal causes of Christ and His church and His truth, the only thing worth living for. And if we can't say that to them today, then something needs to change. Something needs to change in our lives as parents if we can't say that to them. And then we say, and your life must not be pointless. It must not be directionless. But as an arrow in the hands of a mighty hand, mighty man, you release your child who you have trained into the causes and the kingdom of God and His truth that has claimed your heart. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Again, I point out to you that the Word of God does not view children as something to limit. But what does that mean, a full quiver? The answer to that question is, each man and woman, each marriage's quiver is full according to God's sovereign work and appointment, as God sovereignly controls the details of married life and guides and gives and controls the number of children that God, in His grace and His wisdom and in His providence, has given to you, is your full quiver. It may be 1, 2, 4, 6. They are the children that the Lord has given. They, that is, the parents, verse 6, they shall not be ashamed. That's the parents. The parents will not be ashamed when their children fly at the glory of God, are aimed at the glory of God, are servants of God, are in the ranks of the Church of Jesus Christ in the truth. Parents are not ashamed when their children stand in love, devotion to the great and only cause that is worth life, the cause of God, His truth, and His Son. But not only will they not be ashamed, but they, and I believe that they, but they, if you're following me in the text, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. That they, I believe, is the children, not the parents. In other words, the parents are not ashamed when their children are speaking to the enemy in the gate. The gates of the city was the place of social interaction where business was transacted. It was the coffee shop where men were gathered together. And also the enemies then, that is, those who did not share the faith of parents, your personal faith, your faith that you confess. Others don't share that. They will accuse you. They will belittle. They will ridicule what you stand for, what you are about as a child of God. Happy is the man whose children carefully defend and the cause of their father and mother, of what they live for, of what they stood for. The child becomes a shield for the parent. Fathers and mothers, are you and I living for a cause worth dying for? Is that what it means to you? Do you have a commitment in your life to God, to His church, and to His truth, so that you can say to your little ones, "Son, this counts. This is truth. This is right. This is life. Son, I will die for what I believe." Son and daughter, I will even suffer your death should they come to threaten to kill you upon my renouncing my faith and what I believe. If that's the condition, son and daughter, then I would see you die before I would renounce the faith of my heart and what I believe in God's Word and truth. Are you living for something for which your child must live. Worth dying for. The Word of God, the truth of Christ, the kingdom causes, the banner of truth, the church. Do you want your children to carry that? To carry that on in their generations? Do you say, this is happiness? Oh God, grant it, do you pray? That my children may stand with me in the great cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, give us grace to receive. Give us grace to prepare. Give us grace to direct our children to the purpose of life, which is to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. By Thy grace, Amen.